Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Red and Blue Podcast. We are live from the Tree City Records studio, so Red House.
We are in the studio, so if the audio sounds a little different, we're in our big-ass studio downstairs.
Yeah, I left my mic at home. That's kind of my fault.
So we're not usually we record in my room upstairs, but we are in the studio, so just forgive us for any sound problems. We'll address
them. I'd say the audio should be good. We're using a good mic that they use to make the magic happen with the tracks.
It should be good. It's just that usually we don't like mix this or anything. So if there is any like differences, just letting y'all know.
But we're here. We're back because the Champions League happened. We thought about doing a second leg for the quarterfinals, but we decided, you know, it was just better when it all happened.
Yeah, and that way we could just talk about the league too, and just kind of, you know, kind of give our closing thoughts on how the league is kind of wrapping up, and you know, just talk about, you know, both legs for the last Champions League and the semis coming up, and maybe even preview. I think we're gonna preview the final in this.
We're gonna preview the semifinals, and we'll give our predictions on the final for the Champions League. Yeah. Just because we're at the semifinal stage now. I mean, we'll break down the two semifinals a little bit. We're not gonna spoil them yet because we have to go through them, but we'll talk about the semifinals, and we'll make sure that you get that type of knowledge heading into, and our predictions heading into the final, which is in June. But the semifinals are actually coming up next week. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on April 22nd. They're coming up at the end of April, beginning of May. So that should actually be really good.
Yeah, I'm hyped for that.
But to start off with the quarterfinals, I mean, we had probably not the biggest upset, but probably the biggest shock, just because it was Ajax again slaying another giant. First it was Real Madrid. This time it was Juventus, taking them out 3-2 on aggregate. And beating them 2-1 in the second leg.
And doing it impressively. Like, the thing that impressed me the most is that it wasn't like kind of how, I hate to say, but how Man U beat PSG, which was a little fluky. Ajax, like, properly beat Juventus, and it was convincing the whole time.
You know, a team is, passes don't indicate exactly how good you are as a team, but it does indicate how well you are at keeping possession. And against a better team with more talent, keeping possession sometimes is really important. Ajax had only 10 fewer passes the entire game than Juventus had. And I think that speaks to how they were able to control the game at points. Because when I was watching it, it was really interesting to see how they were just able to control the pace and not get panicked and pressed by Juventus. Because it could have been that was a big moment for that Ajax team. But they had already handled adversity against teams like Real Madrid. They just had to do it now against Juventus. And they were able to stop Ronaldo, and they were able to contain things enough to the point where now Ajax is advancing to the semifinals, which I'm really glad they are, because I've been rooting for them this entire time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was stats can sometimes be misleading. I don't think this is one of those times, really. But I do think that Juventus put up a really good game. Like, it wasn't one of those games where it was like, oh, you know, Ajax, like, for sure should have
won. No, it was no pushover. But
yeah, like, it was a really good game, and it was a slugfest, and both teams played really, really well.
I just don't
think
a lot of people expected Ajax to have those points of the game where they felt like they could be in control.
I mean, if you didn't, then you don't know Champions League football, because at the point where it's, you know, what were we at, top eight?
Yeah, like, and Ajax has been beating good teams.
Yeah, like, at the top eight, you can't count out anybody. So anybody who did count out Ajax was dumb. But I do think it's a testament to them, and it's a testament to good coaching, and a testament to what they can do upcoming against another giant, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Ajax has been going through this. They're like they're basically the Cinderella story now. They're probably the lowest profile team left in the tournament, with two Premier League teams and one Spanish team left in the tournament.
Last year, this is where the Cinderella got slayed, though. So
who was the semifinal team last year?
Fuck, who was it?
Are you sure it was last year? It wasn't Monaco last year, was it? No, Monaco was a couple years ago.
No, that was a couple years ago. But there was somebody last year who lost in the semis.
It wasn't Roma, was it?
It was Roma. Yeah.
Yeah, Roma lost to Liverpool.
And they lost to Liverpool. So this is usually where you get weeded out. I hope Ajax is legit. But, Tottenham's going to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting with Ajax. And then Liverpool, like we said, Liverpool's moving on. They had an easy one with Porto. They beat them 6-1 on aggregate.
Yeah, that was,
So there's not much to talk about that. We knew that was going to be probably the result in the game. Liverpool has just been unstoppable this year, both in league and in the Champions League. And they're making it to the semifinals. And they've really established their foothold as one of the best teams in the world. And that's going to really draw their brand and really get a lot of interest for players that maybe want to play for Jurgen Klopp and keep this machine going. So maybe this title run that they're doing isn't just 1 or 2 years. It's a prolonged thing.
No, and I think that, and that's the interesting thing about how Liverpool built their team. I was watching some of the guys talk about it on NBCSN on the weekend, over the weekend, watching the games. And, you know, Gary Neville and them, they were talking about Man U, but then they kind of talked about how teams like Liverpool are built. And me and Graham kind of talked about it before we went on mic. But they're kind of interesting because most teams build up from the youth academy, and they were one of the few teams that was able to kind of bring in free agents on hope and just kind of bring them in and be like, this is what we want.
Yeah, a lot of young free agents that they were hoping their potential would happen in a bigger club.
Not even young. They brought in a lot of people who were established and were like, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we're trying to build here. Come be a part of it. And they convinced the free agents and now they're bearing fruit. So it's interesting to watch Liverpool play and not be the typical Liverpool that everyone thought I thought they would be this year and kind of look good and then fall on their face at some point and be like, oh, typical Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp has had these boys ready, had them, raring to go at every point in time. And shout out to them because they showed out versus Porto and there was no question at any point in time that they were going to move on.
Yeah, watching that, seeing highlights of that game, it was just so clear that they were the better team.
Yeah, it wasn't even close for real.
So, I mean, Liverpool's moving on, and they are going to face the winner of the Man U Barcelona game, which after the first leg, it was 1-0, and you thought maybe Man U could come in and do the same thing that they did against PSG, or at least some people were hoping, but Messi put on a masterclass performance Manchester.
A couple, De Gea could have saved a lot of those, but I digress.
Yeah. But 3-0 was the final score for Barcelona, and they moved on to the semifinals where they will play Liverpool. So, I mean, Barca was the better team, but at the same time, Manchester United, they got to the quarterfinals. A lot of people didn't expect that. They put on a good show until the second leg when things just finally kind of gave out. So, I give credit to Manchester United. I think for the most of the season, they could have fallen down flat, but they've gotten a lot farther than a lot of people expected, and they really did had a good showing until the second leg.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to start in on Man U and then just kind of go into the league
talk. Gotcha.
Because it's a mixed bag. So the first leg happened, and everyone was like, all right, you know, we're down a goal, no big deal. And then the second leg happened, and Messi was Messi. And that's cool. It's fine. It is what it is. I picked Barcelona to win. A lot of people, you know, had the hope. I don't know. Everyone, some delusional Man United fans thought we could win. But I previously picked Barcelona. They won. Shout out to them. I think the bigger problem with Man U that we're seeing now in league is what happened last weekend. Like Graham said, we're recording this on the 22nd. So,
yeah,
the weekend games.
Yeah.
We played Everton, and we got thrashed by Everton 4-0. Now, this is the mixed bag Man U right now. Because clearly, we've lost, I think, seven or six games we've lost. It's not been good in the last couple games, right? So clearly, the honeymoon period is over. And I think now, just hearing the hot takes from, you know, Manchester United greats, and I think Gary Neville said it best, these players, people are starting to see now that these players do not really care about, and I don't know if it's about Man United, about the team, but when it comes down to it, they don't play hard every given possession. Not only that, but I don't think they respect other teams because clearly they didn't come in there ready to play Everton. They were like, oh, it's Everton, whatever. They're not going to be that good.
They fell on their faces.
And we fell on our fucking faces. And there's something that you need to remember and there's something that you need to realize is that even though you're the top cream of the crop or you were at a certain point because we're not there right now, like, no team in the Premier League can be taken lightly at any given weekend. City lost to Newcastle this year.
And Crystal Palace.
And fucking Crystal Palace, who are like at the bottom of the league. So like,
it can happen.
It fucking happens. You need to take everybody seriously every fucking weekend.
Every year, a top six team loses to a team that they shouldn't
lose. And regardless of what's been going on with Man U previously, because a lot of people will point to that and be like, look, they never had it. I think this is indicative of what has always been wrong with Man U and what Jose was saying during his tenure here. These players do not want to play. They cannot play. They cannot work. It was the fight we constantly saw with Jose in management. He wanted to bring in his players. And now people are starting to realize why he wanted to bring in different players. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that everybody is kind of back on my Jose take from 4 months ago. But honestly, I'm back on that bandwagon. You know, I was kind of happy saying, oh, we're going to win champions, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, I wasn't serious, but all of that honeymoon period shit is over, okay? We need to blow up this team once again, because even though, once again, I'm back there because, you know, Ollie took over and it looked good. And I was like, okay, maybe we can make it work with these players. Maybe Jose was just fucking with them tactically and restricting them from expressing themselves on the field. No. Ollie gives you all the freedom to do whatever you want, and these players still do not play. It does not make sense. So I'm back on the bandwagon of just, you know, selling everybody, blowing it up, and giving some of the youth players, you know, more time. Ever since Ollie has taken over, he's made it, you know, he's made it a priority to bring up more young players for fixtures, and I think that's great. I think we need to just, you know, sign them and to long-term deals and just start building with young players. We need to stop bringing in egos of Lukaku's, Sanchez's, Pogba's. I'm not saying they're the problem, but they are the problem. They're part of the problem for sure. We need to stop bringing in people who are just looking for contracts, looking for the next big thing, and bring in people who really want to bleed for Man U. Like when I hashtag bleed red, it's because that's how I feel as a fan. And you know, he pointed it out this weekend that, like, the fans stuck through it the whole game, even while we were getting thrashed away. Like, the fans were still there cheering. And towards the end of the game, it was kind of sad. The fans started cheering Ollie's name instead of players, because that's just how we feel right now. The players are not giving it 100%. And
somewhere Mourinho is smiling.
Oh, he's happy as fuck. He's somewhere just happy as shit. Like, see? Like, I told you. See, I told you. But, you know, all of that being said, I think bringing it back into the grand scheme of things and what it means for Man U this year in the league. I saw a hot take. I can't credit the person right now. I should have brought it up. But there was a tweet by a Man United fan. And honestly, it kind of sparked the light bulb. And this is honestly where I'm at right now. Paraphrasing, the person said that, honestly, it would be better for Man United to miss Champions League this year, finish outside of the top four, so that way we have to, you know, be in Europa next year, and that'll help build, you know, Man U's culture back up from the ground up. The point of that being is that when you're in Champions League and you're competing and you're winning games here and there, it can sometimes, and I think that's what happened this year, it can mask issues with the team. It can be like, okay, we're winning in Champions League, so we're obviously not that bad, right? And I think that was a lot of Man United fans' take up until now. It was, look, we're talented, we just need to put it together. No, that's not, it's no more of that. It's no more, oh, they're talented, they just need to put it together. It's this group of players, for one reason or another, cannot get it done. And I think we just really need to kind of reset. If that means missing Champions League to do it, I'm fully for that. So I was kind of apathetic talking to Graham about Man United before we started potting, because it's like, I don't really know what I want with the team right now. It's like, okay, sure, we make top four, but I think if Ollie's smart and management is smart, this is a completely new team next year anyway. So what? We lose, even if it's not in the group stages, we lose right out of the group stages in Champions League for what? There's no growing there. There's no learning. It's just another wasted year to try to get top four and make Champions League for the next year. So if that's what we're going to really do, then let's strive for something in Europa League, win that motherfucker, and then come back stronger as a unit. You know what I'm saying? So that's really just where I'm at with Man U in terms of the league. I hope we make top four, but if we don't, honestly, I think it could be better for us. So that's my rant.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be – you're not out of it yet, because only 2 points separate place four through six.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a crazy race for the top four, and there's four fixtures left for these teams. So that's only a few – that's only 12 points left for grabs. If Manchester United wants to clinch it, they probably – if they get like 9 points, I think they probably will make it through.
Yeah.
And so 3 wins could do it for them.
It's tough, man. It's just tough, because as a fan, I don't know. Like, you want your team to win, but at the same time, I heard that take and I was like, shit, it might be better for us to lose. So I don't know. If we make Champions League, we're not going to do much next year. But all of that being said, regardless of if we make Champions League or not, this team seriously needs to be looked at.
I think the one positive for making Champions League would be you could get better players to come in and play for you.
Yeah, and that's the only downside, is that attracting free agents and a team playing in Europa League is hard. But again, I think that would be better for us. Don't attract anybody. Get these young players up. Get them up to snuff, because we know they are. They're wrecking the under 21. They came in second this year, I think, and they won last year. So it's just like, bring these players up and really develop them on a national level like Man U used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want free agents who are fishing for a check anymore. Like, I don't want Pogba's. I don't want Lukaku's, because they're just going to be sad when they don't score goals because they can't get paid somewhere else. Like, I don't want that. I want somebody who doesn't care about their stats. They just want to play for Man United. And I think the best way to do that is to just bring up youngsters who we bred to bleed red. So I hope we win, I guess. But if we don't, a lot of people need to be sold on this team going forward.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Manchester United. They have a lot of question marks that are going to have to be answered in the offseason.
A lot.
Things that are going to need to happen. Meanwhile, Manchester City just realized that they were playing a Premier League team again. And
yeah, time for your rant.
Once again, bowed out in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They lost to Tottenham on away goals, but beat them 4-3 in the second leg, which was a classic game.
It was a good game.
It was a great game. I was pretty angry, I'm not going to lie. That Man City gave up a lot of opportunities that just were easy. Like, Tottenham just cut them, went through them like a knife went through butter. Like soft
so many goals in that game.
Yeah, and, I mean, shout out to Son. He had a couple really nice goals, and he is really in form right now. And he's showing
that one where he was on the goal line and then just turned and swifted into the goal.
Yeah, he stopped on a dime and just kind of put it in the back corner. I was just like, all right, well, we're probably not winning this. I was right. But, I mean, Man City scored, and they played well later in the game, and they kept coming back through adversity, and they won the game. It's just, they didn't play well in the first leg, and they made some questionable decisions when it comes to not playing Raheem Sterling or wondering maybe about the fitness of Kevin De Bruyne, why he only played at the end of the game as opposed to the beginning.
Yep.
Or why David Silva was playing those games instead of Bernardo Silva, and Bernardo Silva was out on the wing where he's not as explosive. I'd rather have a Leroy Sané or a Riyad Mahrez out there.
Somebody would pay.
Probably Sané, honestly. I'd rather have a Sané out there with Sterling, because both of them could just cut into their input, and they are both lethal when they get near the box. And we both know how much pace they have. So I would have done that first leg, but they decided against it, and they gave up a goal. They gave up a crucial goal, and they weren't able to respond.
Yeah,
and because of that, they weren't able – had they drawn that game, they would have advanced. But because of that, they're out.
Yeah, just kind of pointing to the last podcast, I know we kind of discussed what Man City was going to do tactically, because they played Tottenham once in the league and then twice in Champions in such a short amount of time. And my point was that Pep should take the conservative route, and that Potts would also do that, and it would kind of be a gentleman's thing. And then they would not really go out in the first leg, and then see what happens in the league, and then the real big game would be the second leg. Turns out it didn't work like that. Potts went all out in the first leg. Pep played conservatively, and like Graham said, it ended up biting him in the ass. And I just think it's one of those things that was a gamble, you know? Like, I thought it was honestly, before the game had started, I thought it was a good play, but,
Yeah, it was just, there was a lot of tactical things on defense, and Laporte played, like, he gave him a goal to start the game. He played, like, such poop early in the game. It was really awful. I wanted him to get off the field at one point. I was, like, just shouting, like, get him out of here! Because he was just making bad passes and not being where he was supposed to be. It was like he wasn't ready for the moment as a young player. And Fernandinho is pretty good fitness, but then De Bruyne played the second game, and then they played David Silva in the second game, which I think they should have done, but they should have played Bernardo Silva in the first game at his natural position. I think it was just Pep's tactical decisions in the first game, I think, affected them. Because in the second game, they played bad on defense, but they were able to score. And had they just kept it even keel and had it kept it at serve, going to the second leg, they would have won.
Right.
Because they outplayed Tottenham in the second game. That wasn't the problem to me. The problem to me is that they didn't try harder to begin with. Yeah. And then, of course, they beat Tottenham in the league. And I'm just like,
yeah,
my middle fingers were just like up in the air. Just like, I hate you guys.
Yeah, it was a tough situation.
Me personally, I don't care about the Premier League. We already won it.
Yeah. And again, that brings me to my next point, which was that I think that it kind of shot you in the foot where you guys never really prioritized one league or the other. And like I've been saying, y'all should have been going for Champions League and said, fuck Premier. But it kind of seemed like Pep was fully confident in his players, which as a coach you should be,
yeah,
that you guys could get it done on both fronts. And I think that playing, like Graham said, playing conservatively against Tottenham in the first leg really shot you in the foot.
I put it this way. Does Man City maybe need better upgrades at other positions? Yeah, they do. They could use a better left back because Mendy at this point is injury prone. You don't know what you're going to get from him. And honestly, he's also a bit of a head case sometimes, so he could go. And you could lose Gundogan, and you could lose players like that. But eventually, at some point, you're going to have to, when you with upgrading players, it's just you have to pick and choose what's going to be best for you. And for Champions League, that's what they needed to go for. And you need, they might have had the depth for it. To my original point, do I feel like they maybe needed more players? Yes. But do I feel like they should have won anyway? Yeah, they should have. Because they had these good players and they had these opportunities and they didn't take advantage of it, and they could have had better opportunities, but they were there and they didn't take advantage of a lot of things, and they didn't play it the right way, and it cost them. And Pep, now it's starting to get to the point where it's kind of an issue, because he's lost to Monaco and then two Premier League teams in a row.
Yeah.
So he hasn't even made it to the semifinals with Man City.
Yeah. And that was, in the grander scheme of the Man City loss, that was what I think was the bigger thing, which is, right now, it's probably good. You guys are so exceptionally good and touted still as one of the best teams in the world. I don't think it's going to be an issue this year, but definitely going into next year, I think you're going to start seeing these questions pop up. Can Pep get it done? Can he get out of the semis? And these are the things that are going to start floating around next season, you know, especially with the monkey being on their back that they can't beat Premier League teams in Champions.
Like, yeah, that really needs to stop. If it happens a third time next year, I'm just going to be like, just listen to last year's podcast, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, you know, we can speculate, but for sure, if it's going to be a question going into next year. And, you know, I kind of expressed it on the last podcast, but that's not always a good place to be as a team, because then you start getting players who are restless and they start looking for the next thing, the next out. You know, a Paul Pogba, you know, when things start going kind of, can we do this? Can we do that? When the questions start coming, guys start looking for paydays somewhere else. And I'm not saying at all that that's happening with Man City, because Pep seems to have built
a good culture
and stuff.
Yeah,
but
the players trust him.
But all of that being said, it's going to happen at some point if y'all don't win a Champions League soon.
Well, there'll be pressure on him soon, too. I mean, he hasn't performed what he was expected to do, and he was given a lot of resources and a lot of money, and he still hasn't gotten past the quarterfinals. Granted, he's had a 100-point season last year, and he could still win the English treble this year, which they're in position to potentially do. So you wouldn't be mad at him for it. But same time, Champions League for Man City, that's where they want, because they want that international notoriety as one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah, because as much as me and Graham were talking about it off air, as cool as other trophies are, the big ones are the Premier League and the Champions League. Those are the trophies you want. And if you don't win Champions and you don't win Premier, questions are going to start coming, man. And even if you do win Premier, I still think it might be a little, well, especially if Liverpool wins Champions, it's really going to be lukewarm, I think, for you guys. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I hope it's not Liverpool wins Champions League and wins Premier League.
Because that could happen too. And then y'all will be really salty.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. We got through all those things. We have the quarterfinals. So now we have the semifinals. We have Ajax versus Tottenham and Liverpool versus Barcelona. But before we get into those, we're going to take a quick break. All right. And we are back because we still have the semifinals of the Champions League and God, they're going to be so good.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So again, we have Ajax versus Tottenham and Liverpool versus Barca. Now, we want to say where the first legs are, because that's important in these legs now, because semifinals, they're still legs. When you get to the championship, it's just a one-off game. It's just a winner-take-all. But still, they're still legs, so there's still one game at one person's place and one at the other person's. So the first game for Ajax-Tottenham is going to be at Tottenham. And then for Liverpool-Barcelona, the first leg is going to be at Barcelona. So for those away teams, so for Ajax and for Liverpool respectively, those are going to be big games for them because those are opportunities to pick up away goals. Because like you saw with the Man City Tottenham game, Tottenham leg, away goals can sometimes get you through to the next round and would get you through to the potential championship.
Mm-hmm.
So those are going to be big things, I feel like, for Ajax Tottenham. But I mean, which game do you find the most intriguing in terms of like schematics?
Definitely the Liverpool Barca game. Just because that game can go a bunch of different ways. Because Klopp, if Barca wants to play with the press too, then Liverpool can either counter with a press or they can go full on defensive German wall style, and they could just be a muddy 0-1, 1-0 type
of play. Do you trust Liverpool's defense to hold up in that type of environment?
I do.
Against Barcelona?
I do. I really do. Because they've been – I don't want to start doubting them now. They've been playing great all year.
They've been good, but it's that front three for Manchester – or for Barcelona is deadly.
They are, but
Suarez and Messi and
Depele. Right. But if you have numbers committing to a defensive scheme, I don't think that's going to be a problem for Liverpool. They've showed us that they can defend really, really well. So I'm not really worried about that. My problem with that is if they do muddy up the game like that, I think it leads in Liverpool's favor because I really don't think Barca can handle a physical type of game. I think if it turns into that, especially Messi, if you body Messi, he gets very uncomfortable. So
I feel like Fabinho and Virgil van Dijk are going to be really big in these legs because those two are kind of the enforcers for Liverpool, and they're going to have to be up in Messi's grill.
I just think that if it comes down to a physical game, then it's going to lean in Liverpool's favor. But again, it comes down to tactics because if Liverpool wants to press, Barca can also do the same thing. And then it comes down to, okay, whose defense at that point in time is better? And then whose offense is better on the counterattack?
Yeah, who can handle a counter? Who can, and which defense can handle the counterattack?
So it could, the game tactically, I think, is way more interesting on that front because it can go, we can either get a slugfest or we can
see them bombing up and down the
Yeah, or it could pitch. Be a shootout. Like, we don't know.
Like 4-3.
Yeah. So I think that is the more intriguing game. Not only that, but the personalities in that game. It's fucking Messi. It's fucking Salah. Like, it's
Sadio Mane.
Like, what gets better than that? No slight to Tottenham and Ajax, but the personalities on those teams are way more boring.
No, it's gonna be a big matchup in terms of like world football.
That's what I'm saying. That game's gonna be legendary.
Like some people might even argue that's the final, because whoever comes out of that, they think will probably win against the winner of the other leg. I personally think it could go either way, but both these teams are very good. But I think it'll be interesting to see how Liverpool handles that first game at Camp Nou, which is the Barcelona home, and see how they handle that atmosphere and if they can get out of there just with a draw. If they can get out of there on the even playing field, I think they can win the leg, because I think that's how you make a slugfest into then they can play a track meet in the second leg.
Another reason why I think it leans in Liverpool's favor is because Man U played them that game that in the first leg where we played them.
Yeah, Man U played them well,
and that was at Barca. So I think that needs to be held. That needs to be said that if you defend them well and take the crowd out of it early, it's not that hard to stop Messi. Like, you can, it's doable. You just need to clog up the midfield so he doesn't have room to operate.
Just have a couple people watching him.
We did it fairly easily in the first leg. Second leg was a different story. De Gea missed a couple goals, but whatever. Like, but it's definitely possible. And I think Liverpool is more than capable, more than talented enough to, and especially on a coaching front, that's another thing that me and Graham just brought up in the break, is that on a coaching front, I also give the edge to Klopp. So I think all of these things lean in Liverpool's favor.
Ernesto Valverde hasn't had a Champions League win as a Barcelona manager. Last time they won was under Pep Guardiola, actually, with those teams like Xavi and Samuel Eto'o.
So it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch those games. Luckily, these semifinals aren't on the same day. They're on two different days, so we don't have to worry about which one to watch. I can just watch, and it's going to be awesome. And then there's the Ajax Tottenham game, which, man, Ajax has just been awesome to watch.
Yeah, shout out
to
Ajax, man.
They're the Cinderellas of this Champions League, and I really think they have the talent to win it all. I really do think they do. With those two young guys, even though De Jong is out to Barcelona, and Matthias De Ligt, the captain, is probably going to be leaving to Barcelona as well, this team this year is firing on all cylinders, and I think they can play with anybody in the world.
They do, man. They're really good. I don't want to...
They have other good players, too, not just those two. Yeah. They have a lot of good
talent. No, I mean, they're talented. I mean, like I said, anybody at this point, you make it at a top eight, you're talented. You're one of the best in the world. That's a given. So I'm not taking anything away from them, but I just need to lean... I'm kind of leaning on what I know here, just playing devil's advocate a little, with Tottenham. If they fire on all cylinders, they are nasty.
Yep, now, I know.
Not only that.
They are very good on the counterattack as well.
They're great on the counterattack, but not only that. But again, if we're leaning on coaching, I don't really know this Tang is his last name. Eric Tang something. So I'm messing up his name. I'm sorry if we have Dutch fans.
Yeah, the Ajax manager. His name is Eric
Ten Hag.
Yeah, but... Again, I don't really know that much about him, but I know that Potch just put on a coaching masterclass against Pep, who's one of the best managers in the world. So it's going to be tough, man. Like we're going to do predictions. I got to probably pick Ajax just because they're the Cinderella story and they've been playing beautifully and they slayed two dragons in Juve and Real. But
this is actually probably a down in competition for them.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Exactly. But that being said, Tottenham has played up to their competition. So I think that it's going to be a really good game. But unlike Liverpool Barca, where I'm pretty with the courage of my convictions picking Liverpool, I'm kind of on Ajax for this one, but I'm still going to pick them.
I'm picking Ajax. I've been with them from the beginning.
But I'm not confident about it, but I'm picking them.
I actually am pretty confident because I've been saying Ajax is the Monaco of this tournament. They have been getting through all these obstacles. They have
And when did Monaco talent. Lose? When did Roma lose? Semis. That's
I think Ajax can do it. And Ajax also has world-class talent. So I think they have a chance.
They do. I'm just it's just funny to look at, you know, the past couple years and the champions we've had, these Cinderella teams, and this is always when they lose.
So what's your final?
Oh, my final is Ajax Liverpool. I'm picking them. Like I said, I'm picking them. I'm not confident about it, but I'm picking them.
We have the same final, but I'm confident about it. Ajax versus Liverpool. Yet again, Liverpool. And if you had to pick a finals prediction
I'm picking Liverpool.
I'd probably pick Liverpool.
Yeah. I was like, Ajax is nasty, but Liverpool is nasty.
I could see Ajax beating them, though. It would not shock me if Ajax beat them. It really would.
I mean, again, at that point.
If Ajax beats Tottenham, I think at that point they kind of deserve to win.
If you get them, again, at this point, everyone's talented, so nothing would surprise me, but that's why I'm not confident about the Ajax pick, is because Tottenham's really good too. But yeah, I'd pick Liverpool. I pick Liverpool.
Yeah. I think they'll both be good games, but I think Liverpool right now is just firing in all cylinders.
They're just too nasty right now, man.
Yeah. So they're shooting for Champions League, potentially a double with the Premier League as well. Yeah. So that'll be interesting for them. But along with that, I mean, before we go, we have to talk about the derby.
The derby coming up this week.
It's been moved a bunch because of Champions League for both teams, but finally, Manchester United versus Manchester City. Where is it? Do you remember which one it's at?
I don't know. I think, is it at home? I think it's at home.
For you?
I think so.
I mean, it's going to be a great game. I'm super excited for it just because I love watching them play. It is at Old Trafford.
Yep.
So it's going to be at the other side of Manchester, on the red side.
If we lose at home, the fans are going to boo the fuck out of this team.
Especially
I know
if it's a blowout.
I know it. We're going to get booed so
bad.
Dude,
if it's a blowout, if it's like 3-0.
We're going to get booed. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
Even Ollie's going to get booed.
Everyone's going to get booed. They're just going to be massive.
They're like, never mind. You're not a permanent manager anymore.
Hey, okay, so me and Grant, again, we were talking about this off air because we always do like a rundown before we like start potting. And I didn't have much to say about this because I think Man City's going to thrash us because we're coming off of a massive loss, so we have stuff to prove. But Man City's trying to win a title right now, so they have a different type of motivation.
Man City's going to have some anger that they have channeled from that they need channeled from Tottenham that they might want to put into Man United.
And that too, and having just been knocked out of Champions, they're going to be pissed. Again,
yeah, you just saw Lionel Messi. You're about to see Sergio Aguero.
So if I'm picking, I'm obviously picking Man City. I'm not happy, but I'm picking Man City.
I mean, it's a big game for both teams because if Man United is able to get some points out of this, it's great for their prospects are finishing top four. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's big for them if they're trying to still make it that way. And I think Ollie can get them. I think Ollie, I'm confident in Ollie. I like him a lot. So I really think he can get them at least back to a point where it's going to be a competitive game. I'm not going to make a prediction, but I think it's going to be competitive.
I hope so, man. I don't
think it's going to be a classic like last year's Darby, but I think it's going to be competitive. I could see a 2-1, 3-2 type of game because City has their own defensive issues and Man United still has a good attack.
We do, but it's just one of these things, man, where it's like kind of going back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast. I don't really want us to win because
Tommy or center mid now?
Yeah.
Is he good?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, kind of. Oh. Not starter.
I was like, he's been playing a lot.
He's all right. God damn it. It's just one of those things where it's like.
He's all right.
It's just one of these things where it's like, I want us to do good because they're my team. But the second we beat Man City or even play competitively, everyone's going to be like, oh, see, we can do it. See, this team isn't that bad. And then everyone's going to forget.
Don't worry. There's still going to be a bunch of changes this offseason.
Oh, I fucking hope so. But that's just what I see because I've been riding this Man United wave all fucking season.
They just want to get to, Ollie, me, from an outside perspective, I think Ollie just wants to get to fourth place and then be like, all right, guys, peace. Thanks.
Ollie isn't the problem. Ollie's not the problem. Ollie has a good vision of what he's trying to do. I'm just saying in terms of like, fans, I don't, because fans, as much as people don't want to say it, fans have a lot of sway in what teams do. Like, and I just don't want the bubbling idea with the fan, Man United fan base to be that, again, that, see, Ollie, that was just a fluke. Ollie has them good. We don't need to blow up the team. No, blow up the team still. So, regardless of what happens this year with Man United, I just hope that we stay the path. And like Graham said, I'm pretty sure Ollie will have us right in the summer.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Derby. It's on Wednesday. I'm sure we'll both be talking about it to each other during the day.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going good.
Oh, I'm excited.
But obviously check us out in the coming up next couple weeks. We'll probably come back after the first leg of the semifinals of the Champions League.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to do a podcast before the final. So don't even worry about that.
And then if you guys have any ideas for us, send us, again, in our reviews for the Tree City Sports Podcast Network, leave us a review specifically for Red and Blue on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know if you want us to talk about stuff. As the season starts to wind down, we get into the summer, we are not going to be gone. We will be back. We'll talk other soccer topics. We'll talk other topics if we just want to, just because it's our podcast.
Yeah, so. For sure. Like Graham said, as the season's winding down and everything, if you guys want to hear about other stuff, we can definitely keep it coming in the summer. We'll definitely be doing podcasts, maybe a little more sparingly, but definitely come back and talk about, you know, soccer stuff because there's going to be
We might do longer ones if they're going to be more sparing.
Yeah. Well, or we can do that. So just let us know what you guys want. Where to find us and everything? Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Anything else to touch on?
No, I mean, we got through Champions League. We got through Premier League. I mean, we're going to be here throughout the rest of the season. We're going to be here in the off season. We still have the Tree City Sports Podcast, which me and Andrew just put out an episode with the draft where I did a lot of draft analyzing. So go ahead and check it out. If you want to hear more, check me out at GT Moen on Twitter.
Yeah.
And for Olin, what's your Twitter?
Yeah. So check out everybody at Tree City Records and follow, please. If you listen to the podcast, I know y'all are fucking with us all over the world. Please follow Tree City Records. It's great. Tree City Records on everything. Twitter, Instagram, treecityrecords.com is the website where you can get updates on everything, listen to all new music, updates on the Tree City Sports Podcast, which like Graham said, just dropped. So everybody go check that out. Follow me at Twitter at MCO the Sky King, at MCO the Sky King on everything, Instagram, all that good stuff. Not really on Instagram, but go ahead and shoot me a follow. Maybe I'll start Instagramming for y'all. New music coming. Ozzy's tape is almost done. They've been dropped. Biggs just dropped like a banger. Kid dropped two bangers. Ozzy's been steady dropping. Kamikaze Flow 2 just dropped, which is fire.
Yep.
Everybody check that out. Just follow Tree City Records and join the street team so you can get updates on everything we do, all the podcasts, all the music. You don't have to worry about missing anything Tree City Records. Join the Tree City street team and you'll get updates on everything. We appreciate y'all.
Thank you everybody for listening to the Red and Blue Podcast. We will be back soon. Peace.
Peace.